This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 154C, page 654, and we were talking about looking at the movement, which is called energies originating within the solar system, so far the solar logos, and his method of manifestation, then the planetary logos, that entity, and his method of manifestation and expression, to be compared with that of the solar logos, especially when talking about a planetary pole. Well, it is as if, I wonder if I can do it, it is as if, yes, there are more than one planetary pole. More than one planetary pole. There are different levels at which the pole function can be expressed. But there is kind of a top of the head, which is the pole of any entity, and there will be energies of a higher nature received through that. But of course we have also, in a way, the astral head center and the mental head center and other head centers. And they are all part of that polar alignment. All the various head centers are part of the polar alignment. Then we go on to the human being. So the entity manifesting is the thinker, and this is interesting, man is a Dhyan Chohan. In other words, a monad, really. The body of manifestation, it's many things, but it's the physical body, here comparable to the physical sun and the physical planet. And the physical planet. The receptive center here is not the pole. But it could be the top of the head, for the more advanced. But vitality is coming in via the spleen, which is a spleen is a central and even central lower center. But there are other methods, I think, of vitalizing the form. And what is being received has to be more than just vitality, doesn't it? The surface radiation or emanation is the health aura. And you know, in a way we should make a tabulation here. Surface radiation is planetary prana, and surface radiation here is solar prana. So the health aura has a potentially a healing effect. Has a healing effect among those in whom the three centers in the head are linked. So it's a second rule about achieving magnetic purity and healing. The movement produced is atomic rotation. Rotation of the atoms, but also of the vehicles as atoms. Man is an atom, his vehicles are atoms, and the tiny elemental lives are atoms. The human etheric radiation, this is qualitative in nature and depends on our stage of evolution, our rays, and our astrological map. So if we were to put this side by side, the analogies would appear, so maybe someone should do that, you know. And we see how an entity manifests. Of course, you know, this question of manifesting only through a physical body, there's more to it, of course. The body of manifestation is, in a way, the entire personality, and so it is for the solar logos, so it is for the planetary logos, but in the then's physical body is particularly manifest at this time. It is the most highly developed of the bodies, at least for man. What is the case for the greater logoi? I'm not certain, but certainly there's a high degree of development of the outer form. And sometimes when you're looking at the three periodical vehicles, we don't simply say that it's the monad, soul, and personality. We say it's the monad, soul, and physical body as a kind of synthesis of the entire, a visible synthesis of the entire personality. Here we go on with the seven stars of the Great Bear. We've talked a lot about them. And I think the best method of learning about the wives of the rishis, of the Great Bear, is to consult the Hindu lore. Because there, the idea of the marriage between them is stronger. But I did offer a thought about that in this way. A thought. And I said, Bennett Nash, Alcyon. Come on. Mizar, Maya. Alioth, Merope. Megrez, of course, there are, you know, probably the names of the rishis are more evocative. Megrez, Asterope, and Sterope. Dubé, this would be a powerful one, if true. Electra, Merak, Seleno, and Phegda. Taigete. There's a mountain connection there, of course, with the seventh ray, and Capricorn being the sign of the mountain and bringing in the greatest seventh ray. But, you know, how long does a world period last? The mountain of stability has a lot to do with the seventh ray, and but we need more, still more lore here, still more stories. The relationship, it looks like, between, is it Taigete and the Golden Hind is important and not very seventh ray in its nature. So we have some indications, but nothing solid enough. Here are references in The Secret Doctrine and a Treatise on Cosmic Fire on the seven stars of the Great Bear. The seven rishis are the regents of the seven stars of the Great Bear, and therefore of the same nature as the angels of the planets or the seven great planetary spirits. So we know about this. The rishis are the prototypes of the angels, really, archangels, who are the planetary spirits. Well, you know, it's going to be a long time before we can fathom this. Right now, we can get the map, and the map is a certain security in the mind. The mind that sees the vision and knows something of the plan, it brings stability of mind in the face of the larger context. Right now, it's so easy for human beings to lose their mental and emotional stability. It is the seven rishis who mark the time and duration of events in our septenary life cycle. Well, what does that mean? Septenary, three kinds of ray cycles, but beginnings and endings relate to the will. And to the first ray especially. But Of course, the seven rishis are determining ray cycles as they affect our planet and solar system. The seven rishis determine the ray cycles as they affect our solar system and our planet. You might wonder what determines these things, because numerology is involved here, but can it be, in a way, the will of great solar logoi, gathered in the first ray cosmic Manu, who determines the beginning and ends of these cycles? Perhaps so. They are as mysterious as their supposed wives, the Pleiades. Now, there's a mountain of possibility in that word, supposed. There is, from what DK tells us, a definite and vivid interaction between the rishis and the seven Pleiades. And out of their union, something of the second aspect should be born. Out of the union of the rishis and the sisters, something of the second aspect of divinity should be born. I wonder how Ursa Minor came into existence. If we ever, not saying it is so, but if we ever learned that somehow through the union of the Pleiades and the Great Bear, Ursa Minor was born, we'd have a real indication. Ursa Minor is definitely the sun, so has some connection with the Christ aspect, for sure. The first seven stars are not planetary. They are the leading stars of seven constellations which turn around with the Great Bear. Well, we might have to connect here the idea of heaven's pivot. And I wonder if Alcor is being counted in the first seven. Sometimes Dubé is considered the pivot. Stephen Pugh has a theory that these constellations all revolve around the Pleiades, as do the signs of the zodiac, constellations of the zodiac. I would say a lot of measurement has to go into that. I think it's a very interesting theory, and we know that every chakra revolves. The 12 constellations are certainly a major chakra, heart in the head center of the one about whom not may be said. And we have a series of chakras in the seven constellations. The seven constellations, around what do they revolve? Do they revolve around the Pleiades? Does the Great Bear, in a way, revolve around itself with Dubé as a kind of pivot? These stars themselves, when it says they are not planetary, what does it mean? If the stars are not planetary, does it mean they have no planets? I don't think it's very convincing. Or does it mean that they do not themselves revolve around any particular center? As if each one of them might revolve around a particular center. But maybe if the Pleiades are really as central to everything as we imagine, there may be some constellations which, like planets, would revolve around it. I think our seven solar systems revolves around the Pleiades, and the Great Bear is another of those chakras in the one about whom naught may be said, which is, we suppose, centralized in the Pleiades. Anyway, certainly it appears that the seven stars do not revolve per se, each one of them, around their own center. They would probably have a common center. And what is that center? Well, for the moment, the only proposition is that it is the Pleiades. There are all of these cycles going on with their own mathematics, their own numbers, their own emergent and withdrawing qualities. And all of this dance of interconnected energy qualities has to be fathomed by whoever would design a plan, including the revolving, rotating beings and the lesser beings within their ring pass knot. You know, there's such mysteries here. One wants to pause and just on that first sentence, this first seven stars are not planetary. And the Great Bear, in a way, presents to us the first seven stars. But they are, in a way, the leading stars of the seven constellations, and that is interesting. Leading stars. Well, I'm going to have to push this back. Leading stars means that every one of them is a ray star which leads each of the seven chakras, constellational chakras, in the one about whom naught may be said. For instance, like this. Bennett Nash, well, how does this, and how do we spell that? Bennett Ash, Bennett Nash, no, N-A-S-C-H. I think, you know, I better look that up, don't you think so? Get the right spelling. Bennett Nash, and we'll put it in the dictionary. Bennett Nash leads the Great Bear because it's the Ray 1 constellation. And then we can say Mizar leads Orion, perhaps. We can say Alioth leads the throat center constellation, maybe part of the Pleiades. Megrez well, this is the question. This is more difficult than I thought. Megrez is the fourth ray, but what is the fourth ray constellation? Well, leads maybe, it's not going to be Orion. No, and leads perhaps an Ajna center constellation. Dubay perhaps leads the Little Bear. Ursa, well, Little Bear, in the role of the fifth ray and the Ajna center. Merak leads the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, providing it is the solar plexus. And Phegda leads Draco, seventh ray, kundalinic constellation. Well, we may have left out something here. We have the base of the spine. We have a solar plexus. We have an Ajna center. Megrez is difficult. We have a hint as to the throat center. Mizar leads Orion, let us say, as a heart center. Heart center. And Benet Nash leads the Great Bear itself. Is there anything that leads the entirety of the Pleiades? Well, let's just say maybe part of the Pleiades is involved with the throat center since there's so much intelligence coming from it. We may have left out the centaur here. But this is, we have two contenders, in a way, for the Agnus center. And the sacral center is not considered. It would be hard to think of Dubay as connected with... Dubay seems to have such a close connection since it is ruled by Leo. Let's put it like this. Since it is ruled by Leo, and or Dubay and Leo, and since Leo is the sun, and so is the little bear, there is a strong connection. So the sacral center has to be dealt with. And from these stars, we should be able to find that somehow. Anyway, this is a work in progress, speculative. And this is the solar plexus, this seven solar systems, of which ours is one, solar plexus, unless for some reason we decide that it should be the sacral center, but I think not. It's it has so much to do with desire. Desire, Taurus, Scorpio, and Mars. So just one missing. And we can think we have two Agna contenders and no sacral center, which might be, of course, in the sacral center, what star should we connect? Well, the seventh ray is kundalinic. Can it be that there is no sacral center? Has it really faded? There is the idea that there is a risen kundalini in Draco. Now, any one of these cosmic logoi, for that's what they are, really, these constellations of cosmic logoi, has more than one ray. Any one of these cosmic logoi has more than one ray, as Draco has both the seventh and the second, it appears. Our seven solar systems, I would say rays 6 and 4 are pretty strong. In the Great Bear, Little Bear, both 2 and 5 are strong. The Great Bear has the 1, of course, first ray, and maybe seventh ray in a sense. Orion, well, there's such a powerful second ray, but I'd say 2 and 6. That will give the option of it being either the heart or the solar plexus. Interesting how the solar plexus ascends to the heart. And the Pleiades, we know 3 and 2 are there, is 1 there as well. Maybe I should... they have more than one ray. So if we go Great Bear, maybe ray 1 and ray 7. Little Bear... Maybe, all I can say is maybe, ray 5 and ray 2 related to sonship. Pleiades, definitely ray 3 and ray 2. Ray 1, and I should put that maybe in a different way. I should say this, Great Bear, ray 1 and maybe ray 7. Little Bear, ray 5, well, that should just be a maybe altogether. Pleiades, definitely Ray 2 and Ray 3. Orion, maybe Ray 2 and Ray 6. I could almost say probably. Draco. Ray 2, I would say almost definitely. Ray 2, cosmic booty. Cosmic booty. B-D. Oh, cosmic booty. And Ray 7, Kundalini. And the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, maybe Ray 6 and Ray 4, indicating the struggle of desire. Two Ray 4 constellations connected with it, and Mars, the Ray 6 planet, being the planet through which the energy issues. Anyway, those are some ideas about some of the rays of the cosmic logoi. Now, we just don't know how far advanced our one about whom not may be said is, and whether he's functioning on the soul level or the personality level. I mean, his own supercosmic soul, that is, obviously, or in some way on the monadic level. But maybe we would have to wait until the next solar system, which will invoke the monad of our solar logos, to know more about the monad of the great supercosmic logos. In Egypt, the Great Bear was a constellation called the Mother of the Revolutions. So there we have the idea of the pivot and rotation. And the revolutions are the cycles determined by the seven rays in the Great Bear. So that may be the case there. And then we could always ask whether in some way the third ray, with its mastery of cycles, is not found here. Ray Bear, maybe Ray 7, or Ray 3 with its mastery of cycles, possibly. And the dragon with seven heads was assigned to Saturn, who was called the Dragon of Life. Now, there's a connection between Draco and Saturn. The dragon has seven heads, and this is interesting because let's just say that there is a septenate in the Great Bear, in the Little Bear, and now, so close to both is the elevated dragon with seven heads. It's almost as if, well, there is a sonship aspect in the dragon, but a powerful third aspect as well. As I say, rays 2 and 7. Ray 2 for cosmic booty, and ray 7 for the kundalini and the base of the spine center. Also, the base of the spine center in man has a kind of a first ray connotation. So I wouldn't be surprised to see first ray involved with this dragon. If the Great Bear is a mother, it's connected with the third aspect of divinity. Also, one of my friends told me about that. If the Great Bear is a mother, it is associated with the third aspect of divinity. Hence, with the third ray, the cause of revolutions? And is it itself in some way turning around? Is the Great Bear pivoting around one of its stars? This would be rotation and would relate to the third aspect of divinity. The mother of the revolutions, and by that we don't mean, I think, overthrows, although it does come into the will aspect. I think we mean the stars in their courses and the revolutions that they undertake. And the dragon with seven heads was assigned to Saturn, who was called the dragon of life. If Draco has the seventh ray, then does Saturn, which is assigned to the dragon, Saturn rules the seventh plane, all seventh planes and subplanes and so forth. It rules concretion. And interestingly, Saturn is sometimes found as a ruler at the base of spine center, the anchor. Saturn has a way of being very harsh, severe, and maybe the dragon is testing in that same manner. So the seventh ray of the dragon could be correlated with the seventh ray of Saturn, but the second ray of the dragon, distributing cosmic buddhi, is difficult to correlate with the rays of Saturn as we know them presently, even though HBB says rules the devotional faculties. In the Book of Enoch, the Great Bear is called Leviathan, a whale devouring. Let's take a look at a little bit of the symbology of Leviathan. Leviathan. What is it? Biblical creature. The basis of a book by Thomas Hobbes. The word has become synonymous with any large sea monster or creature in literature, like Moby Dick. It refers to great whales, and in modern Hebrew it simply means whale, and it is described in Job. Let's see if there's... And God is said to break the heads of Leviathan in pieces. The heads, as in some dragon, as in the seven stars, before giving his flesh to the people of the wilderness. God is praised for having clued in Leviathan. He is called the wriggling serpent who will be killed at the end of time. Okay. A dragon who lives over the sources of the deep, and who, along with the male land monster Behemoth, will be served up to the righteous at the end of time. This is Jewish literature. Let's put that in there. Okay, I think we'll just keep that off and go back like so. Right. So there is some great power in this Great Bear. Does it in some way compel the monad into incarnation? The thought comes to me. Does it in some way compel the monad into incarnation, where it is, as it were, swallowed by the five lower worlds. There is, interestingly, in the book of Enoch, some thought, I think erroneous basically, that negative forces are coming from the Great Bear. Well, I suppose if you can't handle forces with a certain form, they can appear to be negative. But perhaps in this identification of the Great Bear with Leviathan, or the sea monster, or the devouring whale, the negativity can be understood. Is there anything else here? Leviathan. It looks like it's an interesting name for a cinematographic enterprise. It has all kinds of popular applications, but the Wikipedia seems to be giving us the best. There is a great monster that, like a dragon, captures the soul in the early days. But the Great Bear, as we understand it, is so positive. See, there are sea serpents here. God created great sea monsters, the Tananim, according to legend. This refers to Leviathan and its mate. Looks like people in the old days are liking to eat whales. The enormous size of Leviathan is described by Jonathan Bar Napaha, for whom preceded nearly all the Agadot concerning this monster. Once we went in a ship and saw a fish which put his head out of the water. He had horns upon which were written, "I am one of the meanest creatures that inhabit the sea. I am 300 miles in length and enter this day into the jaws of Leviathan." Can it be that this great creature entered the jaws of something still greater? When Leviathan is hungry, reports Rabbi Dimi, in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, he sends forth from his mouth a heat so great as to make the waters of the deep boil. It sounds dragon-like. It sounds like Draco could be called Leviathan. And if he would put his head into paradise, no living creature could endure the odor of him. That's where his abode is. Is this the Great Bear? In all the different religions, there is an evil kind of meaning to Leviathan, and its identification with the Great Bear, I think, turns out to be quite an injustice and is somehow conditioning people's minds in a negative way towards the Great Bear. Our solar system with the Pleiades and one of the stars of the Great Bear forms a cosmic triangle or an aggregation of three centers in the body of the one about whom naught may be said. And which would that be? The seven stars of the Great Bear correspond to the seven head centers of this great entity. Well, that is a statement we've been using constantly, and there is the comparison. There is the comparison to Vulcan. Should we say, as Vulcan is to the chakric system of the human being, so the Great Bear is to the chakric chakric system of the one about whom naught may be said. They are will centers, and Vulcan is connected with sevenfold jewels. Vulcan is connected with sevenfold jewels. And the Great Bear with the seven head centers. So there is a sevenfoldness in relation to Vulcan. One wonders about its personality ray in relation to the mineral kingdom. The seventh kingdom counting from above. So this is a very important statement. The seven stars of the Great Bear correspond to the seven head centers of this great entity. What could be that one star in the Great Bear? Well, we could do this in different ways. Do they all share the same quality? Because there is cosmic buddhi. Cosmic buddhi in the Pleiades. There is the second ray prominent in our solar system. In our solar system. And could the second star, Mizar, be involved? All of them would be sharing the second ray. Now, if we want to do this, if we wish to do this in a 1-2-3 manner, then Bennett, Nash, Al-Kaid would be the ray 1 star to the ray 2 solar system and the ray 3 Pleiades. I don't know how we will get the hint on this. The star which most likely affects our solar logos at this time should be a ray 2 star, Mizar, because our solar logos has a ray 2 soul and a ray 2 personality at this time. So, you know, you kind of, like the shoemaker and the elves, you kind of lay out some thoughts, related thoughts, and you hope that we can put this together, the intuition can put it together. Now, a cosmic triangle, or three centers in the body of the one about whom Namu said, the Pleiades can represent the throat center, perhaps, or in their entirety, a great head center. And our solar system, well, a kind of heart center, but in a cosmic logos. So our solar system, our stellar system, a solar plexus, perhaps. And the Pleiades, a throat. And the Great Bear, a head center. So another way of doing this, or at least suggesting possibilities. Another way is to put the three together as if they were chakras in the one about whom, with Great Bear, the head. Even though it's a single star, it can be a single star for the entirety. We'll see. Or maybe, or a ray coming from the head with with our solar system as a solar plexus in the great being, and Pleiades as a throat center, or at least part of them as a throat center. It's difficult when looking at the Pleiades to decide whether they are the entirety of the head center, the jewel in the center of the inmost 12-petaled lotus, which is the zodiac, the Pleiades at the center of the zodiac, in a way, or whether there is a throat center meaning because of the third ray. It'd be hard to see all of the Pleiades as the throat center. It's just out of proportion, to me, anyway. So here we might have throat and solar plexus, the Pleiades and solar plexus. What is really the heart center? Well, what is the constellation which is really the heart center of the one about whom nothing is said? This is much to be discussed. Since Betelgeuse, being a kind of heart center within Orion, can stand for the whole constellation. The blinding is a star stands for the whole thing. And sometimes, for instance, Sirius might stand for the entire Little Bear. So, you know, ideally we'd have head and heart, and those would be two well-related centers. But the way it looks now is we have the Great Bear on the first ray, and some star within it on some ray. We have the Pleiades on the third ray, connecting with the throat, and our stellar system, our constellational system of stars, to which the Sun belongs, is on the sixth ray. I don't know how much can be made out of that just yet. All right. Vibrations, energies come to our solar system from the seven rishis of the Great Bear, and primarily from those two who are the prototypes of the seventh and fifth ray planetary logoi. Well, the prototypes of Venus and Uranus, or in the proper order, Uranus, ray 7 soul, and Venus, ray 5 soul. Now, we're not really talking monadically yet. Otherwise, now, who would these stars be? They would be Dubay. They would be, rather, Phegda, in the case of Uranus, serpent power. And they would be Venus, or rather Dubay, in the case of Venus. Dubay, Leo, Dubay, Venus, or Dubay, Leo, Venus, a kind of triangle. Leo, Dubay, Venus, fifth ray, triangle. Leo bringing in the fifth ray, Dubay being the star of the fifth ray, Venus being the soul of the fifth ray. Now, if the prototypes were monadic, we would have Benetnash Uranus and Mizar Venus, or Merek and Mizar. But I don't think we are not yet in a monadic solar system. Next system, the prototypes may change. And assuming that at least some of our planetary logoi reincarnate in the next system, it would be a monadic system, and the Great Bear, if it still is the controlling factor, would contact the monadic rays of these planets. The ultimate second ray monad in the case of Venus, the ultimate first ray monad in the case of Uranus. So very interesting that the 7 and 5 are coming in, so what we might say as a result of that, this age of Aquarius will be very much under the Great Bear, as the two most influential stars will be related to the two rays of greatest prominence. The seventh ray, which accompanies the Aquarian precessional age, it doesn't really come out of it, it accompanies it. We've established that for at least 2160 years, with probably overlaps. And the fifth ray, which is constellationally transmitted through Aquarius. So this will be, you know, an age of magical science, or an age of the science of magic. And, of course, Dubé is a brilliant star. Dubé is connected with Leo and with individualism. We do have the emergence of many prominent personalities at this time, in contradistinction to the group spirit. And when the individuals do magic, they do it for selfish reasons. And when group conscious people do magic, they do it for reasons that involve the welfare of the group. So we have to beware of individualistic magicians. Crowley was one. While he was a Libra with a Capricorn moon, his rising sign was Leo. And, you know, all reports, a very selfish man, using probably his seventh ray soul for strictly mental magic, mental selfish magic. So others of his type will be coming in who simply want to work the magic for their own benefit and do not have the idea of service in mind. Cosmic avatars represent embodied force from Sirius and from that one of the seven stars of the Great Bear, which is ensouled by the prototype of the Lord of the third major ray, the third planetary logos. This is interesting. So, we have Sirius, Alioth, and Saturn. Saturn is always doing duty and is, I suppose, maybe the most obedient of all the planetary lords. Is there a Sirius Saturn connection? There definitely is. So all of this is about the law of karma, the Sirius Saturn connection. It's about Manus in relation to karma. Well, what we have to do is make so many adjustments in the third ray that the second ray relationship can prevail. Our task is to make many adjustments in the conditions which relate to the third ray. Well, T-R-Y. Not giving me what I want. T-D, third ray, T-D-R. No Y needed. Our task is to make many adjustments in the conditions which relate to the third ray, so that the right geometric relations of the second ray can prevail. And the law of karma comes from Sirius and is mediated via Saturn, and it looks like the third star in the Great Bear, Alioth, is involved. The third star, Alioth, is out of alignment with one of the stars in the Pleiades, maybe Merope, maybe the veiled one, and many karmic adjustments are now needed so that the love wisdom energy can express on schedule. Well, these are such interesting things. They are very cosmic, you know. So far we're seeing nothing applying to the personal astrology per se. We are seeing everything that is planetary, systemic, and also cosmic. I think that this would be the place to call this little series of programs to an end. So we have here the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 154C, page 656. We're still 40 pages from the end, or maybe 39. And the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 155A, page 656. And I think as we leave now, we might as well do the great invocation together. It's been a little while since we've done that. And somewhere here is my pitch pipe. There it is. So let's work together on that. The note G, sometimes said to be a seventh ray note, but if you begin on A, it's a seventh ray note. If you begin on C, it's a second ray note. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, we will move on to Esoteric Astrology Adventure 155 as soon as I make a few technical adjustments. With 39 pages to go, I do believe, before we reach the point of having said, ah, we've done this book. But, of course, one has not done the book. Not by any means. All right. So, we will see you shortly as soon as I reach the point, which shows our beginning point. Very good? Very well. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.